Hello and welcome. This is Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast. Hope you're well. This is episode 7 and it's the 10th of October 2013. Now, I do apologise for my last podcast being late. As I said, I was away for a couple of days and it delayed a few things. But it went up on Sunday. Hopefully you've all listened to it. Oh, it was a bit short. But I explain that all on there. Hopefully you've heard it and enjoyed it. But yeah. You go, right, the reason it was late, I was away for a couple of days. I went to Alton Towers on Thursday and Friday. And I normally record on the Thursday and get uploaded on the Thursday. Originally I was recording in my van, as you may well remember. But I've stopped doing it now because I feel the sound quality is better. Well, I knew it was going to be better. But I found some time in the evenings that I can just sort of sit back and record it on a Thursday evening. That being said, I did record the last one up the allotment, as I said, and I actually really liked that. I could hear the birds in the background tweeting when I listened back. And I think if I can do it up the allotment, I'm going to do it. That's going to be my first popular place. Failing that, the shed at home, possibly, once I get that all figured out. As I said, I went to Alton Towers on a Thursday and Friday. That's why I was away for a couple of days. Now, you may think that's not really fruit and veg related. It's not. But I did have a wander around the gardens there, and there was a potential they could actually grow a hell of a lot. Unfortunately, they don't, and that's understandable, but the gardens there really are quite impressive. You don't really think of a theme park and having gardens, but this one does. On the Saturday, I went to a Grow It, Cook It, Eat It show at Westdean. Now, Westdean is an estate. It also has a college. It has a college, but the estate is broadly divided into three constituent parts. Tenant farmers farming directly in hand, Westdean Gardens and St. Roque's Arboretum. Now, obviously, the gardens are obviously quite well related to what our particular subject. And I've been to Westdean a few times for various shows, in particular the Chili Festival in the summer. And they are well. The Chili Festival is fantastic. A massive festival based on chilies, and you get to walk around the estate and the gardens. Now, the actual college does teach or have courses for gardening and cooking. So I will be posting a link for their website up on the on this post. So if you are interested in any courses, I would highly recommend them. Now, this show, one of the key things on this show was it actually had Mary Berry coming along, and she showed done a cooking demonstration along with the resident chef. So you can imagine it was very busy for that, just mainly because of Mary Berry. But the resident chef was also very good. She'd done a few of her own demonstrations, and I've seen her before on other shows. And she's an exceptionally good chef. I believe she may have something to do with the courses as well. And just listening to her, she's very, very funny. She comes out with a lot of jokes, makes it entertaining and enjoyable. She done a lot of preserves on Saturday when we saw her, and there was quite a bit of things to learn there. There was also obviously a gardening demonstration, and because the main feature of this show was grow it, cook it, eat it, it was obviously on fruit and vegetable gardening. And these were also busy, but you know, well worth going along and having a listen. Picked up a few things and had a lot to learn about. The show itself, we had to wander around all the rest and to see what we could do and what was there. Again, it was very, very good. Well worth going along and having a listen and having a look. The Chili Festival is 10 times better. We've been to that in the past, but the Chili Festival is probably a few years down the line. I think this Grow It, Cook It, Eat It, this is their first year they've done it. Last year they had an Apple Festival, which we went to, and it was good. It was just lagging behind the Chili Festival. And that's the same with this Grow It, Cook It, Eat It. It's good, but it's just lagging behind. The Chili Festival is set so high, but I will discuss that on probably next year when we go to it. As I say, the potential for this Grow It, Cook It, Eat It is pretty high. If with continued support, I'm sure it can really amount to something. But one of the things I like to do when I'm there is just wander around the kitchen gardens. And these are massive walled gardens and orchards and what have you. And I like to have a wander around them and see how they're doing at different times of the year. I have taken some pictures that I will be putting up on the post. Again, they're well worth a good wander around. And what I like to see is that not everything's perfect. You know, a show garden like that, you expect everything to be perfect. But you know, when you look around, you can see the odd weeds. The courgettes were suffering from powdery mildew. So, you know, these are professional gardeners. I believe there may be volunteers involved as well, but I believe the main is the professional gardeners. And if they can't get everything perfect, why should we worry about getting everything perfect? That's why I feel a bit sort of glad to have a wander around these gardens and just see the reality of everything. I think some people, when they see these gardens on the TV or in magazines, they get put off because it looks so perfect. And there you go. It's not. Now, they had a lot growing in this kitchen garden. There was a lot of different vegetables and beans and fruit and stuff growing. And it all looked really well. As I said, I put pictures on the site for this. The orchards. Now, the orchards are amazing. They've shaped some of the trees into intricate designs, like goblins and circles. And it's amazing. And even better when you see the actual apple, the fruit growing. And in fact, everything grown in this kitchen garden and the orchard is used in their shop, in the cafe, which I absolutely love the idea of that. I love the idea, the fact that you can go in there and buy stuff that is actually grown in their back garden. I think more restaurants should be doing that, if they can, of course. There's quite a few espaliers as well, which are very interesting. Again, pictures are on the site, or if you want to go and have a look down there, then go and have a look. They've also got greenhouses, Victorian greenhouses. Pictures I've taken of that as well. And these are massive, big greenhouses. I dread to think how much it costs to heat them or anything, but they are fantastic. And there's some beautiful grapevines and fig trees growing inside these, producing grapes and figs. The chilies were looking amazing. And as I said, I do like to have a wander around these and listen to the things. You can pick up some tips and hints and look at things that you might like to grow when they are fully grown. I looked at the lemon verbena they had growing, and it really I've always felt my one was a bit leggy, but I could see the potential for what it could grow into. I did go to the garden shop and quite naturally bought a couple of plants. Only brought a couple of herbs. I bought some Moroccan mint and some good King Henry. Right. Well, after that Sunday, I went up the allotment in the morning and had a water of the inside the polytunnel, as always, and took a note of the temperatures. I have a thermometer in there, and I've kept a note of the minimum and maximum temperatures and reset it every time. I've made this into a data sheet on my phone, and I may put this on the website in due course. But it's enabled me to see just how much the temperature is inside the polytunnel. I think I need to get another minimum and maximum thermometer to go outside, so I've got some sort of comparison of how well it does with the rest. Especially as we're coming into winter and the temperature is starting to drop, the wind's picking up. It'd be interesting just to see how much warmer it keeps it. Now I harvested a few more tomatoes and chilies from inside here, some peppers as well, a few beans and peas. No courgettes this week though, funnily, weirdly. I've been doing so well with courgettes, having a few each time, and this time there's been none. Now that's not a huge problem, but you know, it's it's obviously come to the end of the season for courgettes. I gave everything a really good de-weed again. I think that's generally the jobs I'm doing at the moment, is de-weeding and just harvesting and stuff. I noticed there were lots of crickets around, so naturally that's doing quite well with some good nature. Something I forgot to mention about the West Dean Grow It, Cook It and Eat It show. Something I learned was that apples have done well this year, but onions have been poor this year. Now, obviously apples I'm doing well at the moment. And you may remember I said my onions have been pretty good, but not as good as they could have been. They were okay. So this has obviously been a common occurrence all over the place for them to mention it. Right, back with the what I've been doing. The as I said, allotment. There's a lot of crickets around the allotment, and that hopefully means there's lots of insects and pollinating insects going around. I harvested more tabaries, doing well with those. When I came home, I've cleared the last of the tomatoes and salvaged what I can, and they definitely all got blight. Bit of a shame, but what can I do about it? Blight is blight. It's killed off the tomatoes at home. I've still got tomatoes up the allotment. They're still green, so they're probably not going to ripen in time, so I may just cut them back and be done with it. And I've cleared all the tomatoes and the chilies I'm still growing, still getting a few chilies in the garden, and the tomatillo. One of the tomatillos fell off, and I opened it up, and sure enough, there was a fruit there. So it can survive with just one, but it probably does better with two. And they're still not quite ready, I don't think. I'm going to have to research when they are ready in order to get more. Now that's about it really with what I've done at home. I did win a new product from eBay. Well, it's not new, it's a vintage garden cultivator. I've got to fit a shaft onto it, but I'll be testing that out once I've done that. That's something that did come in. I've also, like many of you who are interested in this subject, as you're driving around and going about your daily business, you probably do take note of all the other allotments and see, oh, that looks good, or what other people are doing. And I find that a really good idea of seeing what people are doing, so to work out if that's what I should be doing at this current moment, or thinking the time's right. Well, I noticed in a nearby, I guess, village or small town called Rustington, in their shopping precinct, they have a grassed area. They have a few flower beds. One of these flower beds was growing vegetables, and I absolutely loved this. It was actually on the corner, and I thought that was such a brilliant... It looked pretty, but it was also producing. Personally, I do feel we could be producing more fruit and vegetable, more food for ourselves by using the areas that we have much more efficiently. And little areas like this, when you consider the amount of food banks and people relying on food banks currently, a little area like that, just growing some fruit and veg, that people can just... I don't know if this one's a public for public consumption, but you know, people can just harvest some of the fruit and veg, or the food bank could perhaps harvest them and use them. I just think that's such a wonderful idea and such a good use of land. Yeah, I mean, you imagine a community orchard near where you live, somewhere where there are trees, apples, pears, etc. growing. And people just go along and help themselves, but they also have to help care for it and look after it. I do realise that perhaps, you know, people may abuse the system, but I think really the majority of people wouldn't abuse it. And I think it would be potentially quite a good thing for us all. I mean, an apple from a supermarket and an apple that is grown at home, in your allotment, or out in the wild, their tastes are just so different and so much better, the more natural product, rather than apples that you get all year round that are flown from halfway across the world, I should imagine. It's mind-boggling, but if we all just grew a little fruit and veg at home, you imagine the difference it makes. There is such thing as guerrilla gardening. I'm not going to condone it because I don't know legally what it stands, but I like the idea of it. And the idea with guerrilla gardening is that you just... You know, you want to plant, let's say, a raspberry. You got raspberries sprout, and you can get more plants. You want to put a raspberry plant somewhere unused, somewhere like a park or something, where it's not going to cause any harm. I'm not saying to do this. I'm not condoning it. I'm just talking about it as an example. You plant it there and it grows and it produces fruit and you can go and harvest it because you know it's there. And of course other people passing may harvest it. Legally, I don't know what the stand is. I'm not sure, but I do know people do this. There's entire websites probably on the internet dedicated to it. And as we're coming into this autumn winter time, as things start to go dormant, just like people to start thinking, could I do that? Would it be legal? Just think about it. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I've said parks. It doesn't have to be parks. It could be roadside verges or a bit of scrubland that is unused. Of course, you know, if the land's being used or it's someone's property, you can't do it. But if it's unused, what's the harm? And if somebody wants to use it, then, you know, that's your loss. Right, with that, I'm going to be wrapping up soon. So, yeah, as always, please go and visit the website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. I have had a few people start signing up. There's not much action, but people are signing up. So word's getting out. You just need somebody to start the ball rolling and start the conversations. So, yeah, if somebody is prepared to do that, then please go ahead and do it. And anybody that, you know, I will reward people who really commit to it in the forum and talking and taking people under the wing and giving advice and stuff. You know, somebody who does that a lot will obviously get a higher rating in there. As always, you know, you could be a moderator, etc., etc. So please, do go and have a look. That's the veggrowerpodcast.co.uk. Please get involved. Please talk. It's what it's there for. I'd like to thank you again. This is Richard, and this is the Veg Grower Podcast.